We're going to be in Matthew 20 this morning, where the Lord Jesus Christ told us a parable that can really be a blessing and a help to all of us and help us just to understand His desire for our Christian walk. Oh, I forgot to mention Young at Heart. Is that picture still on?
Well, there's not many. There's some missing.
So is that a yes or a no?
No.
A no. Okay, so that's off. He mentioned tonight's service at 5 will be in Job 13. You will want to be here for this one, where Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So great opportunity to grow in the Word. Wednesday night, John chapter 3, we continue our studies there where Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So that's the title, Lifted Up, Wednesday night. All right, Matthew chapter 20, Jesus told a parable here to help us all, beginning in verse 1. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you, and they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. So I've entitled the message, Why Stand Ye? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our lives and our hearts today to grow us, Lord, to speak to us, to meet needs, to convict, whatever needs to happen. Lord, I pray we'll open our hearts to hear from you, and that you'll come down and meet with us and work miracles through your word in this service. We thank you for the privilege to be here and open your word together. And I pray that we'll leave having been blessed. So we commit the service to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I could ask, maybe Michael could turn on the center light, that'd be great. My eyesight's bad enough. I'll take all the help I can get. So as you can see, Jesus has some lessons to teach us here. Now, there's a primary doctrinal lesson for the Jewish people. We talked about this in Sunday school. Who is the passage originally written to? And God here is writing to the Jews who are jealous, if you will, of the Gentiles getting saved and getting all the blessings. And we can see that meaning in the parable. But what can we gain from the parable this morning as Christians, as living in the church age? And there's a lot of practical lessons that Jesus gives us in this parable. But the first thing we see in verse 1 is Jesus went out to hire laborers. Now, we know who the goodman or the householder is, and that would be the Lord himself. But he went out to hire laborers into his vineyard. And as you study the scriptures, you find that sure enough, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saves us, he saves us to serve. He doesn't save us to sit. He saves us to get out and get busy and serve him. And there's many scriptures, but let's look at a couple. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I know a lot of you probably know this one by heart. But God saves us to serve. He calls us his servants. And many times in the New Testament, we are encouraged to use our talents that he's given us, by the way, and our gifts to serve him, to touch others' lives for his sake. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That word labor is there again. God expects us to work and to labor for Him. Now, He doesn't just save us and say, "Now go work." He saves us and says, "I will indwell you and help you. I will even give you some special gifts so that you can serve me." And so He empowers us and He gives us the tools that we need. And He says, "Now I want you to work for me, to labor for me." He hires laborers for His vineyard. One more verse there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would, in verse 3. And so Jesus here is teaching us that He wants His servants to labor for Him. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:3, the Bible says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love." Labor of love. So there we find the motive for service, don't we? We're not to serve Jesus because we've been ordered to. We should serve Jesus because we love Him. You know, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Matter of fact, He tells us 1 John chapter 5, He says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And so Jesus wants us to serve Him out of love, out of gratitude for what He's given us, which is salvation, which is being rescued from our sins and the consequences of our sins. And in exchange, we get eternal life in His presence in heaven. And He says, "I've given you all this. Please serve me." So in the parable, we see that He went out and He hired laborers. But not only did He hire laborers, but He hired them for His vineyard. Did you notice back in our passage, verse 2, when He had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, He sent them into His vineyard. He sent them. My friend, we've been sent to go labor in the vineyard. Now, the vineyard, we understand, of course, is the world. It's the mission field. And the mission field is the world. And Jesus told His disciples after He had risen from the dead, He came and met with His disciples, and He says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Jesus Christ was about to ascend back to heaven. God has sent Him to the earth to preach for us, to teach us, but primarily to die for us. And He said to His disciples and to us, "As God has sent me to the earth to do that for you, now I am sending you out into the world to serve me." You say, "Well, yeah, but I didn't get a penny. I haven't been officially hired." Actually, you were hired the day that you got saved. You took on a new master. The good news is that He's a good master. And yes, we are His servants. You could even use the word slave. But that's not a bad thing, because He's a wonderful master. But He is our Lord. Amen? And we should obey our Lord, and we should want to serve our Lord. And He sends these laborers into His vineyard. And before He went back to heaven, Jesus said in every gospel, in one way or another, "I want you to go." Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Mark 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And Luke chapter 24, that in His name remission of sins should be taught among all nations. And of course in John chapter 20, "Even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And then we get to the book of Acts, and He said, "You shall receive power," and what? "You shall be witnesses unto me." So Jesus repeated this over and over before He went back to heaven. "Now that I'm about to go to heaven, now that I've died for your sins, now that you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, I want you to serve me. And I want my laborers to go out into my vineyard." Down in verse 3 of our passage, it says, "And He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle." There were some that were just standing around. And you know, it's sad that there are Christians doing this. They're saved. They're going to heaven. God has given them eternal life and His presence and His gifts and His blessings, His daily provision. And in return, they stand around idle. How sad. We've been given a job to do. We've been hired to go. And yet, many Christians are just standing. And we know that this isn't trying to put idleness in a good light, is it? And we know what the Bible says in Proverbs 19, the idle soul shall suffer hunger. And all through the Scriptures, we're told that we're here to serve. Paul even said in the 2 Thessalonians, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Talking in a more practical sense. But the point is, Jesus is looking for the idle ones even and saying, please go serve me. Please go and work in my vineyard. And so in verse 4 it says, and he said unto them, go ye also. So here's this go ye again. I want you that are idle, I want you to stop being idle, and I want you to go. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, even before he left this earth, he explained that there was going to be a problem. And the problem was lack of laborers. How sad is that? Now, we don't see it in the early church. In the early church, we see all the Christians there excited about what God has done for them, and they're all witnessing, and people are getting saved every day. But something happened in the past 2,000 years. And Jesus predicted it. Look at Matthew chapter 9, down to verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth what? Laborers. We're reading a parable about Jesus sending forth laborers. And he predicted that it was going to be a problem because there would be too many laborers standing idle. And by the way, if you study it out, there are not a lot of specific prayer requests that Jesus gave. Now, we're commanded to pray, but I'm talking about where he said, I want you to pray for this specific thing. There's not a lot. But one of them is, I want you to pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, because they are few. And there's so much to be done. And we know the rest of in the parable here, back in our passage, he went out the sixth and the ninth hour. He did likewise. In other words, it's never too late to serve the Lord. Now, again, doctrinally, this is taught about the Jewish people and their dispensation and now the church. But for us, he's got people the first hour and the third hour and the sixth hour and the ninth hour. It's never too late to say, you know, I really haven't been serving the Lord as I should, but I can start now. I can start today. I can start this week. You know, you can't change the past. If you haven't been serving Christ, you can't change that. But you can certainly affect the future and say, you know, I might be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, but I can still serve the Lord. Maybe not with the same energy as I used to, but I can still serve the Lord. So he's saying, I don't care what hour it is, I need laborers. Go. So verse 6, he says, and at the 11th hour, so there were only 12 hours available, at the very end of the day, he even found people, he says, he found others standing idle. And what did he say? Why stand ye here all the day idle? What a question. It's not a question that we want to be asked at the judgment seat, is it? Think about it. When we stand before Jesus Christ, and the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will not be judged for our sins. Praise God, those are paid for at Calvary. But we will be judged for what we chose to do with the life He gave us. Do we really want Him to say, why did you stand there all the day idle? No, of course we don't. But that's up to us. He gave us a free will. We can choose. We can choose to be lukewarm, as we read about in Revelation. Or we can choose to be on fire for the Lord. If you go to Luke 6, Jesus warned us about being full or content, if you will, with our service. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 25. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. There's no way that we can be full. There's no way that we can be finished. And then while you're in Luke, go to chapter 17 and verse 10. You know, God said to Israel in Amos, He said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. God didn't pronounce a whole lot of woes, but one of the woes He pronounced was that Israel was being lazy. Notice here Luke 17:10. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you. So this is only spoken to people that have done everything that they should have. Here's what you need to say. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It's our duty to obey Jesus. It is our duty to obey our Master, our Lord. It is our duty to be a laborer for Jesus Christ. Now our motive, again, should be love. But I guarantee you, we're not going to stand before Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I just wasn't in the mood. I just didn't feel like it. Lord, I was just too busy. I didn't have time to serve you. We're not going to try any of that, are we? Because we're going to know He knows everything anyway. And we're going to know that those are just silly excuses that mean nothing. And He's going to, unfortunately, ask some Christians this question, why? Why? Why did you stand all the day idle? Why didn't you get busy and serve me? I gave you everything you needed. I gave you my word. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you special gifts. Why? And He says to these people the 11th hour, why? Why stand ye here all the day idle? Back to our passage, verse 7. They say unto Him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye. Jesus tells us in Luke 14, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. In other words, I want you to leave your comfort zone for my sake. And that is how things happen for the Lord's sake, isn't it? Think about how you got saved. It's because somebody cared. Somebody was willing to get up, not be idle, and tell you about Jesus. It took some effort. But we're not going to get to heaven and regret that effort, are we? We're not going to get to heaven and say, oh, I just served Jesus too much. I gave Him too much of my life. We're just not going to say that. But sadly, we might get there and say, I didn't give Him enough. And that's who He's talking to in this parable. Verse 8, when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now, I don't know about you, but going to heaven's enough for me. Just being with Jesus will be enough. But Jesus said, oh, I'm going to do more than that. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more crying. There's going to be no more pain. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to go make you some mansions too. He didn't have to do that. But He is. Now, we find in the Scriptures that there's going to be different rewards, isn't there? There's going to be some wood, hay, stubble. There's going to be a lot of things burnt up at the judgment seat of Christ. And there's going to be some gold and some silver, some precious stones. And there's going to be some rewards. But there won't be any pride. There won't be any boasting. And everybody that's saved gets heaven. That thief that died on the cross, how much did he get to serve Jesus? None. He trusted Christ and he died. And some people do die on their deathbeds. And then there are others who get saved as a child and they serve the Lord their whole lives, but we all equally get heaven. And we're not going to get to heaven and say, Lord, that just isn't fair that that thief on the cross got to go to heaven. He didn't even teach one Sunday school class. We're just not going to say it, are we? Because it's not based on what we did. It's based on what Jesus did at Calvary, whether or not we go to heaven. Amen? We all get that same penny. We all get to go to heaven and spend forever with Jesus. And there will be no comparing like we do here on earth. There will be no pride and boasting like we do here on earth. There's only going to be gratitude and praise and worship for Jesus Christ. Even the crowns that He gives us, we read about in Revelations 4 and 5. You know what we're going to do with them? These crowns that we worked so hard to earn and Jesus gives them to us, we're going to say, "Thank you, Lord," and we're going to cast them at His feet. Why would we want to wear a crown? That's boastful. That's prideful. We're just going to cast it right back at His feet and say, "Thank you. Thank you that I'm even here. Thank you that I get to be with you and see you and spend forever with you. I even get to go to the kingdom with you for 1,000 years. Thank you." That's all we're going to care about. But while we're here on earth, Jesus says, "I want you to go. I want you to serve me. I want you to labor." Down in verse 13, He answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?" You know, and He's called a householder here. In other places, He's called the husbandman. But I'll ask you this. Do you think that God's going to do the right thing? Of course He is. He always does the right thing. So it's not for us to be concerned about that. The thing we're to be concerned about is, am I serving Jesus? That's it. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Am I serving Jesus? Am I willing to step out of my comfort zone, to not be idle, but to put my gifts to work, to put my time to work for Jesus? That is the question to ask. Nothing else. Not what is he doing and not what is she doing. What am I doing for Jesus? Because when we get to heaven, that's all that's going to matter. When we stand before Jesus, we are not going to stand there and say, "Well, Lord, yeah, I know, but what about so-and-so?" No, there's going to be none of that. It's just going to be us and God. And Jesus is going to hopefully say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If we choose to not be idle, but to serve our precious Lord, out of gratitude for what He's done for us. He says, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" What a question. I hope it's not a question He's asking any of us. I hope it's a question that we would just put out of our minds and say, "I am here to serve Christ. He's given me everything. He's with me. He loves me. I get to see Him forever in heaven. I need to get to work for Him." You say, "Well, I don't know what to do." God will help you figure it out. Find out what your gifts are, put them to use, and serve Christ with all that you have. Be one of His laborers and not have Him ask at the judgment, "Why did you stand all the day idle?" Let's pray.